right. Well, I certainly hope so too. But it looks like you've adequately budgeted. There's no surprises. Okay,
It would be good to have some kind of formula for that that could be applied uniformly to each station. I knew we just took our best guess here, looking at the last year we had that. But the calendar for the elections has changed as well since last time.
Well, our membership roster moves back and forth, and that kind of throws off the expenses, Brian.
Oh, no, I know. I'm not. It looks prudent to me just ballparking it. I'm just saying we should have a good formula because under the new elections calendar, the mailing costs are going to hit us this fiscal year.
Of course.
This fiscal year, meaning the new mailing costs are going to hit for both elections in the 2010 fiscal year?
Yes.
No, I think you're only going to have one set of mailing costs in fiscal 2010, which would be next year's election.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if anyone's taken a hard look at it and come up with a good formula for all the stations to use.
Mr. Chairman?
We can't, because the calendar's changed, it's hard to budget based on past elections.
Question?
Okay, let's see, I hear Alberto and Campbell.
Just a quick one. Remember, Brian, that most of the ballots coming in, the expense of the ballots coming in, are going to happen in October this year. So there's part of the election expense happening going out, and then there's part of the election...
The ballots have been printed and mailed already.
Yeah, but the mail... But the postage.
What I'm saying is it should be accrued this fiscal year because the mailing, as far as I know, has already happened. It was supposed to happen by
yesterday.
August 29th.
Yeah.
Well, on your election expenses on the assumptions and historical data tab, line 349, you have the. Assumptions in there, so we can take a look at that and see if anyone wants to add anything to that or think there are some questions. Assumptions and historical data, line number 349.
Hello.
Okay, so let's see, Alberto. Okay, so next up is Campbell.
Yes, was there a bylaws change? With regard to the change calendar?
There was.
Yeah, there was. But this current election is already we're on the new schedule. So the costs are probably, most of the costs for this election are going to fall into this fiscal year. So.
Okay. When did that bylaws change take place?
2007.
Oh.
2006,
okay.
2007.
No, it was last year. No, okay. Sorry, 2007, you're right.
Yeah. Well, let's move on then from that to programming. Okay, let's look at program expenses. Blah, blah, blah. It appears to me that the big change here is an increase in other programming expense, line 6701. And that's because you guys that's part of your new programming schedule, is that correct?
That is correct, but I don't know what the number is.
Is that World Cafe?
That's part of it.
Yeah, I thought World Cafe was only 4,000 some.
I think what I heard was that World Cafe was 9.
Oh, okay.
Well, in my end, I don't know what the other 9 is for. And I might be wrong on both assumptions.
Okay, anyway, obviously we're a font of non-information.
Yeah, but we make good conversation.
I have some information.
Thank you, Grace.
Information, that's the one thing that we don't want. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Grace.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, At least three stations, upgrades in Arbitron reporting were requested. That doubles the cost to RRC, which is where we get our Arbitrons, from $2,300 per quarter per station to $4,600 per quarter per station.
So then that's Arbitron. Okay.
There it is.
So that's $9,200 for KPFT.
There you go.
That must be it.
$2,300 to $4,600.
No money there for this year.
Yes.
Yes. It's crucial. I've talked to program directors and GMs, and we have to be able to pull out the performance hour by hour, not just a whole
quarterly
trip.
Yeah.
We are getting it this year. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. It doesn't show up at all. Unless it's not under programming, unless it's some other hidden, some other service.
Well, it should be in there. In fact, Alberto, can you ensure that it is in there someplace?
Can
you make that happen?
We're doing it already. That's what I understand from our general manager. We're getting those new Arbitron ratings.
In fact, we have workshops about it, and they share them with us.
Yeah.
We believe that you guys are paying for it. It's just odd that it doesn't show up here in the current
year. Are we sure that's the right general ledger code for that expense?
No, we're not, Brian.
I had that discussion, Brian, with Efren, and I think it's Efren, and it seems like the different stations put it in different places. So it may have been in the current year. It might have been somewhere else, not even in programming. So then do you guys know where the increased payment for... What is it, World Music Cafe would show up? That must be line 114, programming services.
114?
Yeah, row
114.
Row 114.
Oh, what is it? Back on budget.
What is that?
It's called programming SVS. I guess it's programming services.
Services.
How much there's also, you're forecasting a decrease in spending on technical maintenance. That's
our engineer, earlier this fiscal year, before the end of the calendar year, went on contract. And and essentially that has given us budget capacity to bring in our music programmer and a couple of other things. So I'm not exactly, I mean, one of the issues that we have got is the alignment between, how we are paying for our current, for our new programming relative to how we used to.
Right. Okay. Well, let's see, free speech and, and you seem to have increased the cost of free speech radio news there, so that's good. Okay, well, are there any other questions on programming expenses? Okay, why don't we move down to the next category, development? Does anybody have any questions or issues with the development expenses?
What's the line item, Jamie?
It starts on row 120, and there's a bunch of, it's about 20 different individual lines.
Premiums look a little up
there. There's premiums are in there.
Yeah, what's that, Arpal?
Premiums look a little bit, you're budgeting, what is that? An extra six. For premium? We're going to put out more premium?
Well, they're hoping to make more money.
Shipping packaging is...
It should be formula-driven.
Shipping and packaging is zero for... Forecast zero for what, 9, but 10 grand for the coming year. So was that... carried elsewhere previously or something?
They're right above. It has fund line 134 and 133. Just look at the two together. Shipping, packaging, fund drive expenses. The forecast versus the total, and plus the variance, since the variances are opposite, we'll straighten up the variances tomorrow.
Did you catch that, Arpal?
Yeah.
You say 132 and 133?
Well, yeah, I'm okay. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, Lizette.
We're looking at major donor expenses. Is that $100?
Which line is that going to be?
139.
Okay, line 139.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's $100 per month, and if you go over to column T for all the year, they're forecasting $1,200 on major donor
expenses.
Yeah,
what
I mean, they're budgeting $1,200. Pardon?
That would entail such things as a reception. So we might have wine and cheese for an event, for instance.
That's what I'm asking, because is that enough?
Well, it's $1,200 for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have one or two of them. It just depends how our donors are feeling.
Well, and also how we put things together, and frequently there are some of us who donate for the donor event. So I'll go out and buy food, or somebody will buy wine. It's just a set-aside to have something.
And it depends. We might have to pay for a little building for the event.
I'm not saying it's too much. I'm just asking if it's enough.
It's not worth spending time fine-tuning a $1,200 expense.
I just ask a question, because I think the reason I'm asking is that I'm not sure that we really explore.
We don't do a good
seriously
job with it, but we do set aside.
Seriously, with major donors. I'm not sure we're doing that throughout the network.
Yeah. Well, you know, although you have major donor income above, I think that a lot of the cost of maybe even the event will be offset by some of the donations. It just depends. Depends
we would probably
going
include it in community events. Often what we do is we have a community event,
okay, yeah,
and we have a major donor kind of a VIP
point
room where you spend, you pay extra, or if you're people who contribute $5,000 a year, you get to come, whatever.
Point taken. But $100 on its own seemed a bit stingy.
Okay.
Guys, let's not get hung up on a four-figure line here.
I think we've said that earlier. The other question that I had was, can you just tell me on the $6,000 for the what is the event, the other development expense? I'll look at your assumptions and find it. That's okay. Or did you say the $6,000, was that the Miller thing, or is that something different?
I don't know what that is.
I'll look at the assumptions right here. I'm sorry.
Thanks. Because Miller isn't in February.
Okay. I'm looking at it.
It might be an Amy Goodman event or something like that.
Huh.
But that sounds like a high expense for us for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jamie, would you put that on the list too then?
Okay. Other development expenses? Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, are there any other questions about effects beyond the premiums? The shipping impact, yeah, it seems like the current year expenses are kind of funny. I don't know where shipping and packaging would have shown up.
I think she said one line above it, fund
yeah
grant expenses.
Okay, well then it sounds like they're going to ship and package 35% more premiums.
Mm.
Well, whatever. I mean, right. I don't know.
Well, you have to budget a postal rate increase on top of the increased listener support.
Okay. Okay, well then that takes us to the bottom, which is the last item is community event.
Yay!
And once again, we did our classic Pacifica thing of putting things in multiple lines. someday someone will compress these lines. And in the current year, we're forecasting to spend $220,000 on community $22,000. I'm sorry. On community events. And in the upcoming year, we're budgeting to spend $13,600 on special events. So we're going from community to special. That's kind of a drop. Is that... do you guys think that's realistic, that you're going to be spending that much?
I don't think that's realistic. I think that needs to be higher.
Okay.
And also, you'll see that in 2008, we spent 19, and we have got, you know, we've got the 40th anniversary this coming year. So we're planning to put more resource into having, like, special musical day-long deals and those sorts of things. So I imagine that our costs will go up, and we expect those to be, you know, 30% of an increase in revenue.
Profitable.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Because if you look at the income on 13, 14, 15, or 14 and 15, you have a forecast of 47.1. For other events, and your forecast for 09 is 55.5, so there's actually a decrease there of about 8.5.
And we got to take a look at those. Add those to the things where I'm not sure how they relate to each other.
Okay.
Because your income drops and your expenses also drop, I believe. Is that what we're saying? Yes. The income drops by $8,000 and the expenses drop.
Well, and I think one of the things that we've been wanting to be cautious about, and again, I'd like to take a look at some detail about what the projected for 09 is. But we are making every effort to be realistic about what we think we can really achieve. So, you know, as Alberto, if you've heard from both of us, we've got some really good experience under our belts about how to do these, and they are, and we keep costs down, and we have a, you know, genuine revenue numbers for them, but we have not been showing a major increase in that. I'm not sure why we're showing it going down.
Yeah, because your forecast for 09 only includes the month of, everything is actual except for the month of November. I mean, sorry, September, because Marquesha closes early, so they put the actuals in for T. Okay.
All right, well, that brings us to the bottom of the budget. So I have a list here of items. So, I mean, I guess I will pose these items to the KPFT management and ask for explanations and bring them back to the committee. Does that seem like...
Immediately, if not sooner.
Okay, I'll type them up this evening.
Thanks, Jamie.
This is Grace. Can I ask one question?
Sure.
I know that this has gone over, but I got distracted when the answer occurred, and that is, are election expenses fully itemized in this budget adequately?
They seem to be... generously budgeted for.
Thank you, James.
Their budget is about twice as much as what the current year forecast is. So,
okay, can I make
it seems
one?
Like that may be overly.
I have a question about that.
You think that's too much?
The second election, like Alberto said, it depends on his listenership in terms of what the cost will finally be. But, you know, if we look at our actual experience this year, and we'll have a better feel for that after, you know, we just paid the postage, like, I guess that was 2 weeks ago, a week last Friday. So, and we have the cost of the election supervisors. So we should have a pretty good feel on what the actual cost is now. Mm-hmm. I'll ask Lynn.
Can I make a remark here?
Please.
Yes.
Okay, from what I can tell, and I don't have the exact numbers,
It appears that this election has been run more efficiently, even though there are has been much more traffic in terms of more candidates, and therefore more work for the local election supervisors and the national election supervisors. And the efficiency has also led to a far lower cost for this election than would have been possible had we hired an outside vendor, a company, comparing the cost so far with the estimates for companies who would have managed the election, our costs are going to come in much, much less.
Sherry?
Yes, go ahead, Sherry.
Could I know what you're basing that on, please? Do you have any actual figures to present to the committee?
Yes, I do. The estimates from the vendors. But I can possibly dig them up. I'm just telling you.
That would be helpful.
A
Thanks.
Rough estimate. How about we leave that till the end of the election cycle? I'm just giving you a rough estimate from my recall.
Okay,
when we
but
have
that...
exact numbers from the total expenses of the election, that would be when it would be most appropriate.
Okay, well, you just brought it up, so I thought you might have some figures.
So you're saying
I have
the
a
election...
question actually for you, Grace, or
yeah.
for Grace and LaVarne. I think I
of
guess
course.
It's you, Grace. Do we pay the local supervisors all the way through, like, the end of November? How long does their... Well, first of all, is it appropriate to ask that question on this public call?
Oh, I don't
know. Maybe it's not.
It may not be,
If it's not, don't answer it. But I'm curious, you know, how long their contract is.
Just to give you a comparison, the last election, the mailing didn't get sent out until October. That's one thing. But there will be challenges and all kinds of work through the counting of the ballots. So that there will be...
I reviewed our local election supervisor's contract. It says they work through the ballot counting, and then they get 2 weeks after to write up their report.
Okay.
It's the same for all stations.
Okay. Well, it seems like maybe it's true. Maybe the aftermath of the election is not nearly the part of the election cost that's going to hit in the second fiscal year. Most of the election cost is going to hit in the first fiscal year, not the new, the old fiscal year, not the new fiscal year. But I guess we'll see. Okay, well, so I will do that. So then we have folks,
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Campbell.
You said the election is being done in-house? Grace?
Essentially, yes.
Yes.
So there's not an outside election supervisor?
There is an outside election supervisor. So we contracted. We did not contract a firm to manage the election.
Okay. And who does that person report to the supervisor?
Me, as the interim ED.
Okay.
However,
all right.
That person is autonomous. That person's decisions, I cannot influence that person's decisions. The only way I could influence the decisions of Les Radke, the National Election Supervisor, would be to dismiss him.
Why am I laughing? I'm sorry.
Does he respond to inquiries from the LSPs?
Folks, actually, I have to jump in here as your chair. This discussion actually runs rather far afield from our topic of finance. So I would encourage you, if you could take this conversation up in another form.
Sure.
I mean, these are I understand why these questions are interesting for people, but we kind of have to...
Well, these are issues that have come up before, and we've sent out an inquiry and not gotten any response.
But it's not about KPFC's
and we're paying
budget.
For it, apparently.
Yeah. Jamie, it's about 10:15. I'm on the East Coast. It's about 10:15. Can we move?
I'm on East Coast
I would like
as well.
To move off the discussion.
As you know, I thought the meeting was at 5:30 my time today, so I'd like to move.
Well, yeah. We need to discuss this issue of loan repayment, which actually is
absolutely.
Very germane.
We need to move on what we're talking about now. Thank you.
With the KPFT budget, we're going to... I've proposed that I email our queries to the management and come back to the committee, and then we can complete our review. Is that process acceptable to the committee?
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
I mean, to me, yeah.
Okay, if there's no objection, hearing no objections, that's what I will do. Okay, now I would like to propose that we move on to the next question of the proposed debt retirement plan, which is a significant chunk of this budget.
Jamie, can I make one little statement?
Okay.
A few minutes ago, I sent you the debt owed by KPFK to the national office.
Okay. Do you have the total number when that statement was compiled?
Yes, it's an email from Lynn Magno, and I sent it to the whole committee.
And amount is $296,252 as of July 31, 2009. Is that what I understand, Grace? So it's $300,000?
Yeah, that should be about right.
So that is more than what we were showing on the cash report through September.
Well, that's the debt that KPFK ran up largely last year, and they've paid a little bit of it down this year, maybe $20,000 or so. I can't remember totally, but that sounds about right. That's part of the debt that's owed to National. That this, if you can all look on the assumptions and historical data tab on the KPFT budget, if we go down to rows 383. There's two little tables there,
which
have to do
on?
With repayment of debt. The table on the left, which is $300,000, this is a plan that's already been approved by the PNB. This is how we're going to pay back the money that we've taken out of the national office's portion of the Heath Endowment, which is supposed to be restricted money. We're supposed to use the interest on it for programming or something along those lines. So that actually is kind of already been decided.
And it's on our budget.
Pardon?
And it's in our budget as part of our expenses.
Yeah, it's part of it. But the part that we have not discussed, that we do need to discuss since people are budgeting around it, is the right-hand table. Lavarne has proposed, our CFO has proposed, that in order to deal with the large debt that is owed to National Office, largely by BAI, but also part of it from KPFK, as you just heard, that we have a plan that each year the stations collectively pay back $300,000 to the national office. That's $100,000 per month in order to pay off that receivable.
Per quarter, per every 4 months.
$300,000 $1,000 every quarter, right? $300,000 per year. So for KPFD, for example, that works out to $27,000. It's kind of prorated based on their listener support and whatnot. So the big stations would pay more, and the small stations pay less. There is disagreement. I'll let the people speak in favor and against this concept, but the basic issue is there's a large receivable owed the national office from BAIs being allowed to operate in a non-sustainable manner for several years, and KPFK's excursion into non-sustainability last year. We've not really come up with a plan for how to deal with that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
That.
Go ahead, Lizette.
You said BAI was allowed to operates in an unsustainable manner, who allowed them to do that?
Well, the people in charge at the time. This was
in
the year, over the period 2004 to 2008, BAI ran a deficit every
year. But in charge where? BAI or national?
Well, it could have been anywhere. Any one of those people at
the
various
combination.
Levels could have put a stop to it. But I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but there were people that could have done things that didn't do things.
But you need to put a finger if you're going to be charging people.
I don't want to put a finger here because that's not my intent. Our the issue before us tonight is how to deal with that debt. You know, the issue of who is responsible is an interesting question, but actually I don't know that it's germane for our. It's kind of a lot for us right now.
It's a lot of trash.
But it is a fact that BAI ran deficits for most of the years in the current decade.
Let me tell you what, Jimmy.
And BAI was not able to make central service payments for 2007, fiscal 2008, and we haven't been really making our payments in 2009 either. I think we paid some at the beginning, and we made a small payment recently, but we're way behind. So we've been running up our tab. So the question is what to do about that. So unless somebody has a better idea, why don't I let LaVarne present your plan, and then we'll hear what people have to say about it.
The rest of the story, thank you, Jamie, is that the receivable that was run up in the national office is not like a paper transaction. Cash actually went out of the national office for things like, I think we've sent it around, things like health benefits, Democracy Now! Payments that are about $50,000 a month. And that requires cash outlay. And the national office did have cash, and the cash comes from the stations through central services. But BAI was not paying central services. And then due to a lot of the legal problems for K, I think that's what caused the initial problems with K of not being able to deliver on central services, although they're able to generate lots of income through fund drive. So, and the really, really good thing about this paying back and so that the national office will have cash in the future in order to help the stations again is that the receivable that has accumulated is over $1 million. But as we had discussed in the PNB meeting, someone asked a question about debt retirement. Well, the really good thing about this is that, you know, we're looking at $300,000 a year from the five stations based on adding an extra day of fundraising. And that, you know, this is like for the year 2010, then the year 2011, you know, we should have cash sufficient in the national office that will be able to help any state, any unfortuitous event. So at that time, we can retire the debt. You know, there absolutely will be debt retirement once we accumulate half of that. But so therefore, unlike if we were to go out and get a loan of $1 million where you would have to pay the whole amount back, in this way, if we just pay ourselves starting next year with $300,000, the second year with $300,000, we should be able to forgive the remaining $600,000 on that debt. And we should write that language if we decide to put a motion for it in that motion that, you know, once we get to the point where the cash balance in the national office is the amount that can pay the expenses of the national office for whatever 2 months and the expenses of one of the stations for another 3 months, then we should be able to, and then $600,000, then we should forgive the remainder of the debt and then just go back to paying the normal central services. So that's the really good part about this is that, you know, we're taking care of our own cash shortfall in the national office. We're not going outside, and that we can do this if we really believe that as a foundation we have to work together to make ourselves whole. You know, we can't look at little separate entities and say that one person is whole and the other person is separate. And that the important thing, I think, a theme for this budget is that, you know, is that the foundation is a foundation, is a network, and we will make ourselves healthy again by taking care of our own shortages or shortfalls, not by going out and borrowing money or looking at support from someone else. And I think by using this Heath request and doing a promissory note to ourselves, I think that we actually have started that, and we can show that we can do it. And that, you know, so therefore, I think that that's what we can do. That is our plan, and that's what we should be able to do for the foundation, if we are a foundation.
That, a point of clarification, that is the CFO's recommendation.
Yeah,
is that correct?
We understand that.
No, this isn't the CFO. This is the WBA. No, of course it is.
Yeah, there's no, this is LaVarne. This is a proposal that LaVarne has made that the PNB or nobody has approved. So that's why we're dealing with it now.
Thank you, Doc.
Okay, so is there anybody for the stack? There's Luzette for the
Brian,
stack.
Please.
Brian for the stack.
Campbell.
Campbell for the stack. Okay, first Luzette, then Brian, then Campbell.
I long for the day when we will start looking at the reality here. We seem to be writing blank checks for renegade boards and LSB members and what have you. Until recently, WPFW was holding their own, looking after their business, not getting involved in any fights and making sure that they don't spend their money badly. We have a situation at BAI where people just spent money wildly, not caring for the next day, and now you're coming back to us to pay it, and some of us really don't have it. And until we make people realize that they will pay for their actions, what we are doing is just giving people a blank check, and I don't agree with it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Put me on the stack.
Okay, Alberto. I also put myself on the stack. Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
I guess my question is how we're deciding which interdivision receivables get paid back. KPFA has over $1 million in interdivision receivables going back to another board that overspent during the network. We'd like to get that money paid back by the rest of the network. I think this is a terrible idea, to be totally frank. First of all, I see no indication that the rest of the network can afford it. Putting this money into KPFT's budget has driven its on-air fundraising expectations up to unrealistic levels that will cause marathon fund drives. It's also pushed it into a deficit. You're going to increase our costs at KPFA by over $100,000. If you follow this schedule, we're going to see similar impacts at other stations. The stations are supposed to be building up the assets they have to have emergency funds. They're not supposed to be doled out by the national office at its discretion. And it just seems like it's zero sum. I mean, you're moving money around a network that has less and less money every day. You can't just tell the stations at fund drive days and funnel it up to national. It's not going to fix the problems here. I mean, I'm kind of astounded that the national board has approved us paying off money to national with interest that we never borrowed from national. I'm even more astounded that you're now putting on the table that we're going to pay off money that WBAI owes national. Not external debt that's owed to some creditor, but money that WBAI never got around to paying national is now going to be paid by all the other stations, except we already know WBAI is in no position to pay its portion. KPFK is in no position to pay its portion. I don't know if WPFW will be in any position to pay its portion.
We have $38,000 in the bank.
So what you're really talking about is KPFT and KPFA paying off money that WBAI owes national. This is absurd to me. I'd rather have a conversation that starts with the cash needs at National, figure out what we need to keep the network from going belly up, and instead of doing a shell game with our interdivision receivables, talk about how we can raise it or how we can cut other expenses to accommodate it.
On the stack.
Okay.
Got Susan add to the stack?
Yes, I've got you, Susan.
Thanks.
Okay, Brian, is that it?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Okay, next comes Campbell.
Yes. I think that Brian's points are quite well well placed, and I think that what's important here, I haven't seen a LaVarne's proposal on in writing as yet. Now, maybe I missed it because I've been...
The P&B package.
I beg your pardon?
It's in the P&B package.
In the P&B package?
He wouldn't have gotten it.
Okay. Could we get that? And also, I think...
I'll send it.
That the responses, the issues that are raised by Brian are you know, quite significant. And to have LaVarne's thing in a point, you know, point by point, so that perhaps she can respond to some of the questions that have been raised previously in this regard, because I think that, you know, this is a very significant matter. I mean, we aren't talking about nickels and dimes here, and we're talking about the well-being of stations that have to add a day on, and to have this done in a rather capricious kind of fashion, or let's say without the kind of forethought that I think would be important for a matter of this magnitude, I think is you know, quite inappropriate. So I think that it should be, you know, we should receive that written proposal. I expect that Brian's responses, you know, may be addressed in the P&B packet. But, you know, I think that, you know, we really need the whole picture.
Okay, thank you, Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, next up, actually, I'm on the stack. A couple of points I will make. The issue of what to do about the receivable from BAI especially, and also KPFK, is in a way a very interesting one. Who is responsible for that money not being paid? You know, LaVarne's logic, which I actually see some, I do see merit in LaVarne's logic, is that the ultimate decision maker during the years when BAI was allowed to run deficits year after year after year after year after year was the Pacifica Board. And the Pacifica Board was actually made up of people from all the different station areas. It's not, and that's
and
not
who was
solely,
the board's treasurer during those years?
Can I finish talking? I let you speak. I don't want to lose my train of thought. The Pacifica Board was indeed made up of members from many different from all the different station areas. So for stations to say, well, you know, we had nothing to do with that, it's not my fault. You know, that doesn't exactly ring true. It's really. Well, the lesson learned from this adventure is that, for me, that the National Board really must do a good job, or we're screwed. You know, it's not enough for directors to say, well, my station's okay, you know, and I don't really care what happens to the rest of you guys. You know, the directors really do have to ensure that any station that's not performing is corrected pronto. Now, is it right to ask stations to pay back money that, on the other hand, there's the issue of the station's own responsibility, particularly in BAI's case, we had managers here, not to get into stuff like that, but, you know, you could certainly assign a lot of responsibility for our inability to operate sustainably to local, you know, local causes. So, you know, you could certainly argue that the station bears some responsibility too. In a perfect world, I would like to divvy up that responsibility, some to the network as a whole and some to the stations that ran the deficits and didn't pay their bills. We don't live in a perfect world, and actually I think Brian's point that stations aren't really going to have money to make these extra payments is actually quite a good one, and we have to be realistic with any plan that comes forward. So I will stop there.
Jamie,
person.
Can I be on the stand?
Get
okay,
back on.
We have Grace
and LaVarne. But next we have Alberto, and then we have Susan, then we have Grace and LaVarne.
I there's several factors and there's several points that I need to make. And this is a conversation that can go on for a considerable amount of time. I need to point out several things. First of all, I do agree with the comments pointed out already that the stations are taxed already as it is. In other words, and I don't mean taxing in the negative sense, we are going at a step from hand to mouth, hand to mouth. And all of us are doing that. I mean, KPFT, we've got a goal coming up for our fall drive. There's a good chance we're not going to make it. And if we don't make it, you know, like we did two fund drives ago, and three fund drives ago, the third fund drive and the second fund drive, that is going to shoot our personal budget out of the water. We are committed to paying back those $300,000, throwing our piece in the $300,000, because I firmly believe that we should do our best to become self-funded. The interesting thing about it is that we're not paying the damn bank the 4.25% interest on those $300,000. I would like to, and I'm addressing just those $300,000, and I'll move on then. I will remind ourselves, all of us that were at the National Finance Committee at this in August of last year, and I asked Jamie to get a hold of our pals to crank out the minutes, but unfortunately I didn't follow through. Our pals a little bit hard to get a hold of, and I couldn't get the minutes so that we could all review where the $300,000 that we borrowed, because that was an actual borrowing, we borrowed to make that particular payroll. And I don't quote me on it because I do not remember exactly, but I think we did not use those $300,000 to fund BAI. I think we made payroll for a station, another station, with those $300, and we also made payroll. It was a payroll situation. I think we made payroll for the national office. But that was a commitment. We committed ourselves to borrow that money, and now we have to pay it back. Having said that, it will take us 30, and I can understand the urgency, but it will take us 36 months to pay back those $300,000, and I know that we would, that it is putting a little bit of stress on KPFT, but you can imagine the kind of stress that it's going to put those three radio stations that are going to have to cough up $2,000 a month for 36 months to meet their particular part of their obligation. I will not follow the idea that we can squeeze blood out of a rock, and we need to take this whole issue at a very slow pace so that we do not kill this very, very, very skinny goose that's laying a very bad quality of gold in its egg. Having said that, I want to point out that I know for a fact that if the five radio stations were starting October 1st, if the five radio stations started paying their central services, that would relieve a lot of the pressure that is currently being faced by the national office. And I would highly recommend, not only that, I would highly point out, I would be stronger than highly, that starting October 1, BAI and K will not be excused from paying central services. As a matter of fact, central services should be the first check, if I may use that ancient term, cut to pay the national office so that the national office could continue paying, keeping itself going. And if we could get to that point, we're almost going positive. We're almost there. We can talk, like I was mentioning to our general manager. Unfortunately, if we continue in this at this rate, maybe in 36 months we could graduate to dealing with a $1.1 or $1.2 million from BAI and the $300,000 now from K in an organized and systematic manner. For us to deal with it now, adding more after this economic downturn that we're all facing, and just because we had one successful or two successful fund drives doesn't mean that we're out of the hole. So we need to get a little breather. Now, moving forward, there is, when 19.5% central services was instituted, we were rolling in the money. Now, we're not rolling in the money, whatever that means. So maybe our 19.5% that we send to the national office is not enough to cover national office expenses. I'm not advocating to add more points, more percentage points from our local stations to the national office, but I am advocating for us to look at how we have how our income has diminished and how that has affected the national office. One of the things that we tend to forget is central services. Whatever money we give central services, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, 600,000 of those go to Democracy Now! And that's a big chunk of change that we're putting out that is flowing through and out into Democracy Now! 600,000. So when we say, well, we're sending X number of hundreds of thousands of dollars to the national office, it is just passing through, and 600 are going to Democracy Now!, and almost 500,000 is going to Free Speech Radio News. There's a lot of little piquitos, little points here and there, where if we're going to adequately address the issue, we need to look and hammer it out. Another question, and I've heard it mentioned, we have a double system within our radio stations. We have, all of us have full-time business managers at the local stations, and we also have full-time business managers at the national office, redundancy from where I'm coming from. Another place to look at all of this movement of money. In shutting up, because I bore you, I do want to say that I will never, and I will do everything in my power as long as I remain within this foundation to borrow money and putting our buildings up as collateral, because we will never be able to pay the bank any money, any note. We will not amortize our loan if we borrow, and we will definitely lose our buildings. I am against any kind of loans, so we right. got to figure a way in between there. Thank you, sir. Okay. I'm sorry that my English is so broken, but
your
I think
English
you get my drift.
Your
Mr.
English
Chair?
Is really, really very commendable.
Mr. Chair, I have a point of personal privilege.
Yes.
I will simply point out that if anybody needs to get a hold of me, they simply need to send an email to the NFC mailing list, or they can get my email address directly from that list, and the minutes for last year are posted on the NFC's website. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Arpal.
Sorry, Arpal, I did not mean to lay it heavy on you. I just couldn't get around to doing it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you or anything, sir.
It's already up there.
Okay, thank you. Next is Susan on the stack.
Yeah. Okay. I see three things. Number one is that yes, KPFT, one of the current donor stations, is on the edge, and to say that adding an extra fund drive day, and in fact, the 46,000 is three extra fund drive days, is a huge burden on us when we need to be going in the other direction. And I, like Alberto, am deeply concerned that we are not going to make the revenue goal for this upcoming drive, which is going to be very, very challenging. And so adding more days is, number one, unlikely to produce the revenues that people think they can, and second, can be a death knell to our stations. So that's number one. Number two, I think that it is important for the long-term health of the foundation for us to embrace a policy that can be maintained over time, because if it is that, you know, factions of WBAI succeeded over the last 7 years in playing great politics at the national level such that they generated this big debt and then it all gets forgiven, I don't think that that's a good policy at all. I think that there must be some sort of way of kind of functionally forcing responsibility at the local level so that there is an understanding that fundamentally the local levels have got to be able to be answerable to the listeners who pay. So those are a couple of basic things. Most important are the issues that our Paul and Brian have brought up. Our Paul at our last meeting said, we're in an emergency situation. Haggling over who owes what to whom, this is not the time for it. It's the time to make sure that we are paying our bills and not getting the foundation or any of its stations into unremediable problem. That's number one. And it goes to the issue that Brian brings up. It's not a question of who owes whom what in the greater scheme of things. In fact, George Ryder, I helped gather together a group of us to talk about this issue so that we at KPFT can be more knowledgeable about what the implications are for the budget and what our LSB needs to understand this year and next year, and our PNB reps need to understand this year and next year. George Ryder brought up the question, well, what is this debt? What is it really? You know, what is it, what needs to be paid? Was it incurred? Is that really the money that National needs? So Brian's point about what payments do we need to be sure to be able to make and where is the real bottom line. And that is a cash management plan about how are we making payroll? How are we staying current with Democracy Now! And FSRN? How are we making lease payments? What are the other insurance and so forth? What are the critical payments? What is their timing? And are we assuring at National and system-wide at all of the individual stations that we are staying current? That is what is most critical at this time. End of my pontificating.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Okay, next on the stack we have Grace.
I think this is a very good discussion. There is a concept of zeroing out the debt that's been generated by KPFK and WBAI by placing the burden on all five stations instead of just the stations which incurred the debt in the first place. Now, putting the burden of punishing or making staff and board members from a particular station pay back something that was not created by the current board or staff looks more like punishment than justice. So, we should take that out of the equation entirely. Now, looking at this as a practical matter, KPFK and WBAI, it would be too onerous on them to pay back the debt if it were amortized over 2 or 3 year period. It would just be probably impossible for those two stations to pay back the entirety of their debts. It would have to be amortized over a 10 to 15-year period to make any sense in terms of the budgets of those two stations. In terms of the practicality of central services, the national office has not been receiving central services for quite some time from two of the stations. Now, KPFK has been paying its current central services for about a year, maybe a year and a half or so. But WBAI is only beginning in the last week or two to start returning to payment of its normal central services. And I don't think it's even up to the normal amount yet.